Father, we thank you for the preaching and teaching of your word. We ask for the help and blessing of the Holy Spirit to explain and to help us understand, to reveal the word of God, that we might not leave here the same. Thank you, Lord, for your great blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. So, we are continuing our 5-7 season. And 5-7 is simply 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27. And we're sharing from the book, Many Are Called. And I hope you brought your books. Did you bring your books with you? Yeah. If you didn't bring your book, if you brought your book, raise it up. Let me see. If you brought it with you, just raise up your book. And if you didn't bring your book or if you don't have a book, I'm going to have one sent to you shortly. Amen. But this is the book we're studying about the call of God, how that many are called. Amen. And the book, I love the cover of the book because that says it all. So many different people, so many different faces, different hairstyles. Let me see if I can find my favorite hairstyle. Well, different hairstyles. Some people with hair. Some people missing all of their hair. Some missing some of their hair. You know, black faces, white faces. Different people from different walks of life. And they are all called by God. Amen. God calls many different people. Because if you had 6 billion, now they say we're about 7 billion people in the world. If you wanted to bring or you wanted the best chance at saving as many of 7 billion people as possible, you wouldn't call a few people to that job, isn't it? You will call more people. You will call a lot of people, including many people who think they are not called. Hallelujah. And so we've been studying this. Last week we studied chapter 1, and in the other service we were learning from chapter 2, and then in the Wednesday service we kind of started learning from chapter 3, and so this morning service I want to go to chapter 4. Hallelujah. So we're rolling it on. Amen. And the chapter 4 says the characteristics of called people. Characteristics of called people. The characteristics of people. Great. The characteristics of people that God calls. Amen. That means what are the common features of the people that God calls. Hallelujah. Now, it is interesting to note that God often calls many people that you wouldn't have thought God would be interested in. Hallelujah. You wouldn't have thought that God would be interested in such a person, and yet God has great interest. You know, what are we doing wrong today, please? It's from up there. I thought so. So you're working on it? Okay. All right. So, God calls a lot of people that you and I, if we were God, wouldn't call. Do you understand? Because when God calls someone, God is essentially asking the person to represent him before people. And the way we see God and the way we understand God, the perceptions and notions we have of God do not permit us to include certain people in our imaginations of who God would call. Do you see? And so because of that, we get surprised when God calls certain people. And in particular, when God calls us, because of who we know ourselves to be, we often miss the call because we do not think that God is interested in people like us. Hallelujah. So the first one, or the first group of people, God calls failures. God calls failures. That is, people who have failed in life. People who have not been successful in life. People who have failed in life. People who have, you know, crossed themselves out and have excluded themselves from the group of people that God may be interested in. But you'll be surprised that God calls such people. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Amen. Now Moses had a problem. At the time that God is speaking to Moses, he is a fugitive. He's running away from justice because he has committed a crime and the people are after him. Do you understand? Now, when God called Moses, Moses could not imagine that of all the people that God could use to deliver his people, that God would be interested in a criminal like him, like someone who is in trouble with the law. And God wants to call him and send him to negotiate with the law. What if you get there and the first thing that comes up is not your message, but your history? Do you see what I'm saying? That when you arrive in the place, the first thing that comes up is not what you have come to say from the Lord, but it is the history, your track record. Do you see that you are wanted for crimes that you are running away from? So Moses couldn't believe that God wants to send him to Pharaoh of all persons. God, so he said to God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel? I cannot do this." Hallelujah. "I cannot do this, so leave me out." Hallelujah. God calls people who have failed at different things. People who have failed at being good. People who have failed in school. People who have failed in their careers. They've not been successful. People who have failed amongst their family members. They seem to be like dropouts. They seem to be the ones who are not doing well. And yet God is interested in such people. Hallelujah. And so you should not be surprised if God is interested in you in case you have failed at something before and have begun to exclude yourself from the people that God would be interested in. You must begin to believe that God is interested in you also. Hallelujah. God is interested in you. The reason why God is not afraid to call failures is because when he calls people, it is he who works through them. Hallelujah. Amen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it." Hallelujah. Amen. The one who called you is the one who will do it. That is why he does not look for a very high qualification. Do you understand? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it." Do we have the scripture today on the screen? It says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it." Amen. So it looks like the one who called you is the one who is going to do the job. That is why your credentials and your qualifications don't seem to matter a whole lot. Hallelujah. That is why God can be interested in failures. That your track record at failing at anything you've been asked to do, anything you've ever tried to do, never worked. And that track record does not intimidate God at all. Do you see what I'm saying? It intimidates human beings. Human beings like to employ and engage people who have a track record of success, who have a track record of winning, who have a track record of doing well. That is what a resume is about. A resume is an assembly of your achievements and the things you've been able to win and do well. Do you see what I'm saying? That is why people lie on their resumes. Do you see what I'm saying? Because people understand that the resume is actually defining them. A resume is telling people, is you are introducing yourself to people before they meet you. Do you see? Mm-hmm. You are introducing yourself to people before they meet you. So after you have to tell them things, and people like to embellish the things they have done, you know, I mean, just to make the things look very important and to make them look big and to make them look real. Because human beings like that. They choose people based on such things. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you make up a resume and it's full of, you know, well, my first job, I started working at Walmart. I was fired after 2 weeks. And then I also got another job with FedEx. And about 2 months later, I lost that one also. Then I eventually got a job at so-and-so place. And I got in a fight with the manager. And then he threw me out. And then my last job, I was in so-and-so place. And they asked me to go home for lateness, you know. But this is who I am. Hallelujah. Human beings do not like to engage people with such a history. But not God. That you will be surprised that someone with such a track record still has a chance with God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because the Bible says God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. And besides that, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. So often God is looking more like for someone who will be like a glove he can wear to do things. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. He's looking for someone that he can use and that he can work through to achieve things that he wants to achieve. Amen. And that is why failures and people who have tried to do things on their own unsuccessfully still have a chance with God. Isn't that good news? You still have a chance with God. Hallelujah. Number two, God calls unworthy people. See, Moses said, who am I? Who am I? I don't feel worthy. Who am I? That I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hallelujah. So God calls people who do not feel they are worthy. They do not feel that they qualify. They feel that maybe someone else would do a better job. That this calling is too high for me. Hallelujah. And it's not strange for us to feel unworthy. Because truly we are unworthy. Do you see what I'm saying? The best of us is still not good enough for God if we go by that standard. Do you see? The Bible says all our righteousness, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. The Bible says, all our righteousness. Give us that verse, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing. You know, we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses. Yeah. all our righteousnesses, you see, are as filthy rags. Can you imagine that your best shot at being good is like a filthy rag? It's like a filthy rag. You know, if you were just a rag, that would be bad enough. But now you are a rag that is filthy. You don't stand a chance. So if we are going by your sense of worthiness, then the Bible says you're already disqualified. Even your best effort disqualifies you. It says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Hallelujah. So we are not worthy. Amen. We are not worthy, and it's not unusual to have feelings of unworthiness. But those feelings of unworthiness must not be allowed to keep us out of the will of God. Amen. They must not be allowed to keep us from the call of God, from obeying the call of God. Can I have an amen? You see, let me read another passage with you before I go on to the next point. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Well, if we start from verse 25, the Bible says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Hey, says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. You know, that when God is at his lowest, he's still smarter than when a human being is at his highest. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It means that your top floor doesn't even approach his first floor. You see? And he's saying, where is the verse? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25. Start from 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Hallelujah. See, you have to understand who we are dealing with. Hallelujah. So when you think that God has made a mistake, you'll be surprised that that thing that appears like a mistake to you, that choice that appears like a mistake to you, is actually a victory. Hallelujah. And the verse 26, for ye see your calling. Says, because you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. That means not many smart people that are judged to be smart by man. Do you understand? Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty. That means not many capable people. Do you understand? Not many big shots. Not many mighty people. Not many noble, you know, big shot, you know, dignifying and dignified people, do you understand, are called. Yeah. So if you went to a room labeled the called, you shouldn't be surprised if you don't find noble people in there. If you don't find mighty people in there. If you don't find wise men in there. Because he says, they're not that God doesn't call such people. But what it is you don't see that many of such people amongst the people that God has called. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then look in verse 27. Verse 27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world. Do you see? God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So verse 28. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised have God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And the Bible says the reason, verse 29, is so that no flesh should glory in his presence. That means no one can stand before God and say to God, you know, you're lucky you got me. You see what I'm saying? Like, Lord, you better hurry up. Or you better be careful around me because I'm precious. Or that I'm too good for you. Do you understand? Because the things that God chooses and the people that God chooses, he says God chooses what? The base things, things which are despised, things which are not. That means things which are nothing. Hallelujah. People who do not matter much, people who do not count much, God is interested in such people. Hallelujah. So it is no wonder, as we're going through the list, we've seen two groups of people so far, and we see that they are all people that are not often included among the chosen and the selected ones in life. Hallelujah. He says, God calls unworthy people. The third one is God calls people who have been rejected. Wow. God calls people who have been rejected. According to this passage we're reading, when you go to the place where God has assembled all the people and the things that he's using, it would look more like a scrapyard. Do you understand? It's like the assembly of God's called people is more like a junkyard. An assembly of people and things that you wouldn't think God could use. And that is what God would use. Hallelujah. Even to find a church in this place, you know, because if you came around here, you wouldn't be expecting that we are reading the Bible around here. But this is a place where God has given us and has put a church right here. It's a blessing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God calls rejected people. Exodus chapter 2 and from verse 12, it says, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian, this is Moses, and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Hallelujah. One of the dreadful things in life is to find out that what you thought was a secret is actually known. Do you understand? And when you start to see that what you thought was a hidden thing about you, what you thought was hidden in your past, is actually known, then you begin a journey of rejection starting with you. You start to reject yourself and start to eliminate yourself. Hallelujah. In life, it is very common to go through rejection. Bishop says, rejection is part of this life. It is a very painful experience to be rejected. To be rejected is to feel disliked, disrespected, and unwanted. Hallelujah. And in life, it is very common for you to feel unwanted, for you to feel not accepted by people. Do you understand? And to feel like people don't want to have anything to do with you. And Moses was feeling that way when the people said to him, who made you a judge over us? He thought he saw two brothers fighting, and he went there to sort of help them break up the fight and to counsel them and say, brothers should not fight like that. But his counsel was rejected. And it was rejected because of his history. The guys told him, are you the one coming to tell us what to do today? You are a killer. We are just fighting. Do you understand? We're just having a fight. But you are worse than any of us. You know? Say, who is talking? When the guys, Moses approached the guys and said, listen, brothers should not fight. Brothers must live together in peace. Then the guy just looked at him and said, look who is talking. You broke somebody's neck the other day and killed a person, and because we haven't brought it up, you have the nerve to come and address us and to tell us what is right or wrong. So Moses just kept quiet, and then he just withdrew and moved away from the place. Hallelujah. It says the patterns of the Bible do reveal that most people were first rejected before they were fully accepted. Jesus Christ was rejected by the Jews before he was accepted as the Savior. Moses was similarly rejected by his people, but was later accepted as the deliverer of Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. Hallelujah. So it's not easy to go through rejection. It's not easy to feel unaccepted by people. But many times when people do not accept us, God accepts us. Hallelujah. See, people like you to change before you come to them. But God says, come to me as you are. Because God knows that we cannot change ourselves. God knows our struggles. God knows, you see, God knows the origins and the depths to which things that we do are seated. Do you understand? God knows the origins. He knows the source, and he knows why we do what we do. That is why he doesn't make changing a requirement to come to him. But rather, he says, you come to me. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Hallelujah. Can you understand why I love that verse? It's a good verse that God is calling you and he will do the job. Hallelujah. God is calling you and he will do the job. If you could change, you wouldn't need God. Yeah. If you could change and be good by yourself, God would be unnecessary. You wouldn't need God. But we need God because we cannot do it. Hallelujah. We need God because we cannot do it on our own. Think of how many times we've tried, sometimes even to quit a simple habit. Do you understand? Even to stop doing something that you don't even like it when you do it. I mean, when you do it, it's not like you are so proud of it or so proud of yourself. Do you understand? When you do it, you don't like it. You know, I met a gentleman the other day and he was telling me, you know, he said, I don't like all these things I do. I don't like them. And, you know, he seemed to be depressed, not even by the act, but by how many times he's tried to break away from the act. Do you understand? It's like the effort itself is discouraging for him. Even to think of it again is difficult. Do you see? Yeah, and you can see that he's having a private war. You know, as he's walking around, he's a moving battlefield. He is at war with himself. Do you understand? He doesn't like the things he's doing, but he doesn't know how to break out of it. Hallelujah. But the good news is that God does not require you to change anything about you. God wants you to come to him as you are, and he will do it, the change. Amen. He will change you to suit what he wants you to use, or what he wants to use you for. Hallelujah. Because actually, if you think about it, you don't know what God wants you to do for him. You don't know how God wants to use you. So how can you change yourself to suit that purpose? You have to come as you are and let him change you to suit what he has for you. Can I have an amen? So God calls rejected people, people that no one likes, people that everyone skips. One of these days, people will be surprised to find out you've become a preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. People will be surprised to find out you become a preacher. I had a friend who called me one day about another friend. And then he said to me, now I know that your church is not a good church. And I asked him, why do you say that? He said, because I just found out that so-and-so, who used to be such a bad guy, has become a pastor in your church. See, but God is a specialist at such surprises. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Have you ever bought a car from the junkyard? Or an accident car from the auction? Elpak, you've done something like that. Yeah. And sometimes when someone has bought one of those auction cars, you see, and has put it together, when you see it, you can't even recognize it. You can't believe it's the same car. And God likes such junk. God likes such people. Because the more damaged the vehicle is, you know, the more or the better it reveals the skills of the ones who put it together. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God is more glorified. God is more glorified. I mean, if someone brings a brand new vehicle from the dealership and washes it and cleans it, you don't think he's a genius, isn't it? He just washed the car, you know. But when someone has put together something that is in pieces, you know, you can't even tell the front from the back sometimes. See, the whole thing is so messed up. You wouldn't even know where to begin to fix it. You know, and that is the reason why many of us walk away from such things. You know, you look at the whole thing, the thing is so mangled and it's all mixed together. You can't believe that this vehicle can come back to life. But there are some people who specialize in resurrecting such vehicles. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are people who specialize in resurrecting such vehicles, and they go to such places, buy them, and they buy them for very little. No wonder God likes junk, because they are much easier to obtain.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. When people have problems, they have a softer heart often.
Yeah.
They are more humble. They have a better attitude. A lot of them have an attitude of, Lord, well, if you can use anything, Lord, if you like someone like me, then use me.
Wow.
When people have a perfect life, they feel they are too good for God. They feel like, you know, you want to use me? You can't be serious. But God is interested in someone like me? I mean, do you know that I have 2 degrees? I mean, are you interested in someone? It can't be. It can't be that God is interested in someone like me. But when people have problems, when people have a checkered past, when people have a history they are not proud of, when people have discounted themselves, they have put themselves on sale. You know, they walk around with an invisible tag that says, this thing is half price. Half off, reduced to clear. You know, and God likes to select such people. Says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, and I will give you rest. He said, come to me just as you are, and I will give you rest. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Number 4, God calls people who are not believable. People who are not credible. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. They will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto me. Hallelujah. It is true that there is nothing about you that would particularly make people believe in God. Most of us are just ordinary people with nothing special about us. In spite of this, God uses ordinary people like you and me. It is amazing that he gets his work done with people who are not readily credible or believable. Hallelujah. Dear friend, have faith in God. If he can raise up stones to worship him, he can use you. Amen. So God calls people who are not credible. Yeah, people that cannot be believed easily. God calls such people. And that was one of Moses' problems. Moses said that if I go back to these people and I say to them, God says I should do this, that, that, what is the thing that would make them believe me? You know, there are some people who even their appearance makes them credible already. Isn't it? Yeah. And then there are certain people also, as soon as you see them, have you been in one of those situations like you're in an elevator when someone joins you? When they see you, they just start to hold their bag.
Yeah.
And they start to count, you know,
She wished the elevator would go up very fast.
They stepped in before they thought about it. You know, because even your appearance scares them. You look like a thief. You look like someone who wants their bag. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? There are some people who just have the appearance of a preacher. They look like a nice guy, well put together, you know. But there are others who are more ordinary looking. And they just look like regular people, like you and me. And God uses such people also. God calls such people also. God calls people who cannot be believed. People who don't have you haven't been to any Bible school or haven't done anything that makes anyone think someone like you can share the gospel. Not even to become a pastor, but even just to share the gospel with someone. That if you were to start talking to someone, they won't believe you. If you even told them I was in church on Sunday, they wouldn't believe you. Say, you went to church. You went to church. Then I went to see the Queen. Yeah. Hallelujah. God calls such people. Number five, God calls people with an inferiority complex. God calls people who look down on themselves also. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Hallelujah. All of us have things about us that give us an inferiority complex. Your inferiority complex makes you feel that God would choose somebody else. Moses felt that he could not speak well or as well as other people. So he asked the Lord to send someone else. Be careful with your prayer requests because God got angry with Moses for constantly questioning his call. God had invested in him over the years. God had protected him from the Egyptians and trained him in the Egyptian palaces. When it was time for him to step out in ministry, he gave excuses. But there is no excuse, no matter how humble sounding it is, that is good enough for you to reject the call of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So God calls people who do not feel very good about themselves. Amen. God calls people who feel inferior. God calls people who feel they have a handicap. You know, think about this. If God was to want someone to go and do a speaking job for him, why would he choose someone whose particular problem is speaking? Do you see what I'm saying? You're looking for someone to do a speaking job for you. Because God was looking for someone to go and explain to Pharaoh why he must let God's people go. You know? So he was looking, that was the job. And when God looks everywhere, the person he's interested in is the one who has a speaking problem. Moses says, look, I cannot speak in public. You know? He says, I've never been eloquent. I've never, not in the time past, not since I was a kid. It has not changed now. And since you gave me even this call, it still has not changed. Hallelujah. Even as I'm speaking to you, it has not changed. He was beginning of the year. Many people make resolutions in relation. Then when February comes around, it starts to feel ordinary again. They miss one time, two times, then it's like it's not even worth it. Sometimes you've tried it so many times that the memory of the past weakens any further effort to try again. Hallelujah. But God calls people who have tried it before. Amen. And I believe that God is still interested in you in spite of the fact that you have tried it before. Amen. Amen. Number 7, God calls people who are not eloquent. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. God calls people who are not eloquent, people who cannot speak. You know, people who cannot speak. One day I asked somebody, would you like to be a pastor one day? She said, I don't have raps like you. Yeah. She said, I don't have raps like you. You know, that means I cannot speak as well as you do. But God calls people. Hallelujah. Preaching is not about being a good speaker. It's just about allowing God to use you. Amen. Allowing God to use you to reach other people. And God knows exactly how to use you to reach people. Amen. We're going to continue next time. Amen. So I want you to come back next week. We're going to continue talking about the different people that God uses. Hallelujah. Amen. I have a whole lot of them. There are about 15 of them altogether. Wow. So let's stop here on the 7th one. We'll continue next week. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. I want you to bow your heads, everybody, and close your eyes for a moment. We're just closing the service shortly, but I want you to think for a moment about what you heard today. That perhaps in many ways you identify with some of these people we have listed. Failures, unworthy people. Maybe you feel you're unworthy. You're unworthy because of something that you know about that we may not know about, or that others do not know about. Or some private issue or some personal matter that continues to haunt you and that constantly seems to disqualify you even from coming to His presence. And every time you stand up to try to make an effort to connect with God, this thing just comes and appears to stand between you and God. And the voice of the accuser keeps ringing and ringing and ringing and saying, you do not qualify. You are unworthy. You are not included. You are not one of those that God would be interested in. But today the Lord wants to set you free from that. God wants to set you free from that voice that continues to say, you are not worthy. That voice that continues to say, you are a failure. That voice that continues to announce your failures. That continues to rehearse your past. That voice that continues to number you among the rejected. That you're not one of those who can make it. You're not one of those who can do well. But God is sending a message your way. Perhaps you have an inferiority complex. You feel inferior to others. You always feel like you're the least. You always feel like there's something about you that makes you nervous, even among people. Makes you unable to speak to people. Makes you unable to look people in the eye. It's affected your confidence greatly. But today, God wants to reach out to you. God wants to bless you. And God wants to bless you with that assurance that, you know, you are my son, you are my daughter. I created you, I made you, and I have a plan for your life.
I know just what to do with you. I know exactly how someone like you can fit into my plan. That's the nature of our God. If you will give him a chance. If you will give him a chance. So before we close this afternoon, I want to give you that opportunity. If you're here this afternoon and you're saying, I want to give God that chance. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to place this life in his hands. And I want him to take me as I am. I want him to wash me, clean me up, and fix me as he deems fit. As he deems fit. I want God to do with me what he wants to do with me. If you're here this afternoon and that is the prayer on your heart, I want to pray with you. While every eye is closed, while every head is bowed, this is a very private moment. This is a very personal moment. It's a you and God moment. Just between you and God. I want you quietly just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Just raise up your right hand right where you are and I'm going to pray for you. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I believe God is interested in my life. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that somehow my own efforts cannot measure up. My own efforts cannot bring me close enough to God. Like the verse we read earlier, it says, all our righteousnesses, all our different efforts at righteousness still leave us in the category of filthy rags. Filthy rags. Not only are we like rags, but filthy ones too. It means it's not about you. It's about the blood of Jesus and who it cleanses. That is why I'm giving you that opportunity this afternoon. Take that opportunity. Raise up your right hand to receive Jesus as your Lord. God bless you. Just raise your right hand and keep it up. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Yes. Anybody else? Just raise it. I see your hands. God bless you. Just keep it up. I want to pray for you. You know, why don't you just quietly just make your way to the end, just the end of your row, and I'll meet you. I'll meet you right there. Just make your way. Just meet me right here. Just come. Just come. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just stand right here. I'll meet you right here. Let's pray together. Just come together. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want us all to pray. And I want everybody to join as we pray this afternoon. No, this is a very private moment. It's a moment between you and your God. And if you take this moment seriously, God will change something about you today that will change your life for the rest of it. That's for everybody. Somehow, I believe that today is a day that God is removing and fixing things in our lives. All of us have something about us, especially when it comes to rejection. Many of us have felt rejected one way or the other. Perhaps even in a relationship. Someone you liked didn't like you as much as you liked them. Someone you thought you liked, someone you thought liked you, or someone who once liked you, someone who once chose you, suddenly left you by the wayside and said, I don't like you anymore. Suddenly you went from becoming someone's favorite to the worst person. And you couldn't stand this person anymore. They couldn't stand you anymore. And that has left a scar on your soul. It has changed the way you see yourself. It has changed the way you feel about you. But God wants to erase that scar today. God wants to help you. He wants to clean that out. He wants to take that out of your life. He wants to give you a new identity. He wants you to see yourself the way He sees you. Because what God thinks about you is the most important opinion about you. Who God says you are is who you really are. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. Let us pray together. I want everybody to join us as we say this prayer. Let's all say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for loving me just as I am. I thank you for including me, for choosing me, and for giving me a chance. The Bible says you choose base things. You choose rejected things. You choose people that humans will not choose. That is how you choose someone like me. I know you are not intimidated by my faults. You are not afraid of my weaknesses. You are not afraid of my history. My past doesn't scare you, Lord. The stories about me, the good, the bad, and the ugly stories, none of them moves you. Your love is stronger than my past. Your love can penetrate all the stories. Your love can penetrate all the history and reach me right where I am. I embrace your love today. I embrace your love today. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Let your blood clean me out. Wash me. Wash my soul. Wash my mind. Wash my spirit. Let your blood wash me and cleanse me from sin. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'll never be the same again. From today, I'll never be the same again. I will never, never be the same again. Now say with me, say, devil, I will not live for you. I do not belong to you. Say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus died for me. Say, Jesus died for me. He paid the price for my life. He paid the price for my soul. To Him I belong. He is my master. And He is my Savior. I'll live for Jesus from this moment forward. From this moment forward. From this moment forward. I will not live for you, devil. I will live for Jesus the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Say, whatever calling you have upon my life, call me, Lord, and I will answer. Whatever plan you have for my life, I respond to it, Lord. Take my life as it is and make it yours. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Now let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these ones who have stepped forward, Lord, boldly to choose you. I pray, Lord, that as they have chosen you, you would choose them too. Because the scripture says, really, that we have not chosen you, but you have chosen us. Because no one can come to you except you draw them. So thank you for drawing these ones to you. I am praying, Lord, that you would touch their hearts. Perform that supernatural operation that changes a person at the core of their being. Perform that supernatural operation that occurs in the innermost part of a person, and that turns us from sin to righteousness in the name of Jesus. Touch their hearts. Fill their hearts with the love of God. May they love you. May they serve you. And may they live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All to thee my blessed Savior I surrender. Father, we thank you for this wonderful afternoon, and thank you for everything you have taught us today. We pray that as we go home, we will meditate on these things. May the Holy Spirit be with us and bring them to our remembrance in the name of Jesus. Help us to live for you. Help us to be conscious of the call of God upon our lives. Help us to remember that whatever it is that stands between us and you, where we are concerned, is not a problem for you. We pray, Lord, that we will come boldly to you all week, knowing that we cannot change ourselves. Only you can help us. We pray, Lord, that as we respond to you just as we are, you will touch our lives and fix us. We thank you, Lord, for including us among the called in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I surrender.